into the family, being righteous and eternally forgiven. And tonight, we are going to embark on your being empowered by the Holy Spirit. And so, first of all, I'm going to ask you what it means to be empowered. I don't know if you know what that means, but it's pretty basic. I found a definition, and it says empower, to invest with power, especially, Jacob, you'll like this, legal power, or official authority. A synonym would be to authorize, to equip or supply with an ability, to enable, to give authority to delegate power to commission. By the way, to commission is to co-mission. To be mission, to co-mission, you're with somebody, all right? Just FYI. To commission, to authorize, having commonly a legal force. So in order for us to fulfill the call of Christ in our lives, we need his power to do it. I mean, does that make sense? Because how are you going to heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out demons, heal the lepers? Like, how y'all going to do that on your own? Last time I checked, y'all going to need some Jesus in there, right? I mean, unless anybody else ever raise the dead of your own? Oh, okay, just checking. Y'all let me know if that happens, all right? I think in our culture, the closest thing we have, like picture of what we have of being empowered would be like superheroes. How many of y'all are in Bruce Johnson's class? Bruce and Jacob, yeah. Like, did y'all do some superhero stuff? Yeah, right, was that yesterday? Y'all didn't do that? Okay, we just talked about it, never mind. I'm sorry if I spoiler alerted it. Anyway, but how many of y'all have a favorite superhero? Just shout out. Spider-Man? Okay. What'd you say? Your favorite superhero? Superman, that's right. That's mine too, yeah. Anybody else? Who? Miles Morales. Okay, gotcha. Okay, so I did hear some. Anybody over here got a favorite superhero? Got Wonder Woman. See, we get the women up in here. Represent. Huh? Oh, okay. That's not okay. Superheroes. All right. Anybody else? What? Okay, Frodo Baggins is hers. That's a highly educated young lady right there. Who's her mama? Okay. No, my favorite superhero is Superman. And it's because he can't be beat. I will take Superman on every single one of your superheroes at the same time as Superman. And Superman will still win. Right, testify, high five, right? Mm-hmm. We're right. And y'all know what else? Superman, see, that's right. We have one right here representing. Thank you, Keith. but Superman actually is literally just an archetype of Christ. That's what he is. He's literally Jesus in the film. I mean, that's basically what he is. And maybe that's why I'm so drawn to that, because all of us know that we need something extra. We need something more. You know, when I was young, I was always looking for it through career and through achievement. You know, a 4.0, you're captain of the debate team, captain of the cheerleaders, you know, you're the editor of the annual staff, you're trying so hard to get those scholarships into college, and you get there, and then you start rolling on that treadmill, and then all of a sudden, once you get where you're going, you realize, I still have that empty in here. And it's just on to more and more and more. The lust of man's flesh is never satisfied. And it's not wrong to want to achieve more. I do believe that as Christians, as believers, that everything we do, we should do with excellence, to the best of our abilities. But when that becomes your identity, when that becomes your source, it will. What God intended to be a servant to you, when that thing becomes your master, you're just on a path to death. That's all. So with that being said, we know we need a little something, right? Don't we? Right? And, you know, we can't actually channel our inner Superman, right? Because that's not real. What we need is something real, isn't it? Hang on. My computer's coming. So, y'all know me. I love me the Bible. Honey, I will read me the Bible coming in, going out, upside down, six ways from Sunday. Yeah, I love that phrase too. So, I'm going to start at the very beginning. When the Holy Spirit showed up on men, all right? We're going to run over to Acts 2, verses 1 through 4. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. And suddenly, there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind. It's like Superman flying, okay? And it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Have y'all ever heard a house entirely filled with a sound? Like entirely filled with a sound. Yo mama? I bet she can't fill the house with a sound. I bet you right. He ain't wrong. We won't tell her you said that. And divided tongues, I'm sorry, okay, I failed that. Okay, where is it? And divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Friends, we are in a war. I don't know if y'all knew that or not. You were born into a war. And as I've said before, unless Jesus comes back before you die, you will die in a war. Now, we function from a position of victory because Jesus already won it. But we are here to effect the results of what he did on this planet. Okay? I want to give you guys a few explanations here, too. So, I want y'all to understand the difference between authority and power. Authority is the right to command and be obeyed. For instance, in my household, I'm the queen of my house. My children and any other individual who enters my home, I have the right to command and be obeyed. Pick up the toys, do the dishes, go to bed, mow the lawn. I'm not a cruel taskmaster. I feed them well, and I spoil them good. But I do have the right to quit fighting with your sister. Like, I mean, I have that right. Now, I don't have the right to go in Sherry's house and command her people, because that's her queendom. I'm the queen of mine. My king is of my house is Bruce, and both of our kings is Jesus. Okay, so that's a right to command and be obeyed is the authority. Power is the ability to enforce or execute my will or desired outcome. Now, if I were to command my child to do the dishes, and she's like, I ain't doing them dishes, do it yourself. I have a wonderful husband who also is the power I may wield over my child. Bruce, your daughter backs asked me. And all he has to do, he'll come in and be like, did you upset my wife? Did you upset my wife? That's my wife you're talking to. That's my mom. That's my wife first. Right, don't upset Bruce's wife. I just want to tell y'all that, okay, because he takes good care of me. He does not like it when I get upset, all right? So that's power, the ability to enforce or execute my will or desired outcome. Now, dominion is what God gave us, which is control or the exercise of control or sovereignty. I'm getting to a point here, okay? In Acts 1 through 8, just before Christ ascends to heaven, he gave his disciples their final marching orders. But you shall receive power, in the Greek is dunamis, when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. So Jesus is linking the Holy Spirit to power. Okay? When he was arisen from the dead, the word used is the dunamis power, which is the Holy Spirit of God, is we get our word dynamite from that. It's like an explosion of power. So in other words, this is not a small little, this ain't pop rocks on the 4th of July, y'all. This is an explosion. I think it's the explosion that created the universe. I mean, I think it's that kind of explosion. The kind of power that creates universes. That's what I think, okay? And so, if you think of a police officer in the middle of the busiest intersection of Tulsa or Joplin or wherever you live, right? The police officer walks into the intersection, say the traffic light goes out, he or she walks into the intersection, and they put their hands up. What do you think is going to happen when they put their hands up to the vehicles? They stop. Now, does that officer's hands actually stop the cars, the trucks, the tanks, the buses, whatever's going by? No. That man's hands can't stop that vehicle. As a matter of fact, that vehicle could make some mud out of him, right? But because of the authority that officer has in his uniform, people find their brake real quick, right? And if they don't find their brake real quick, what's he packing? He's got some power on his hip that he can take that car out if he needs to, can't he, right? He or she. So authority versus power. You need them both to rule and reign in your life. Did you know that? So Jesus gave us the authority. All authority was given to him when he went and whooped up on the devil, right? but he also sent power. And you do need them both. Right now, we're going to have a little bit of a boot camp on how to win this war. Y'all good with boot camp? All right. I won't scream at you or anything or holler too loud, okay? So I just have a few things I'm going to read out here to you guys. We wage war differently. Does the believer have the right to command and be obeyed? Yeah. Do we have the power to actually bring about the will of God here on earth as it is in heaven? Do we have that power? When we find ourselves stuck in a place that we don't want to be in or living a life that is beneath us, and beneath us is anything less than what God says is true of us. If you're living anything less than who God says you are, there's something wrong. There's something wrong. We need some power and some authority up in here to make some changes, right? And so the way we can overcome those things is by standing on his truth about who we are and declaring that truth over ourselves and our circumstances. This is a form of prayer. Yes, we pray the prayer, "Dear Lord, help me." Amen. That's a prayer. Praying to God, "Lord Jesus, please heal my mom. Please heal my son, my whatever." But do you know a prayer that some of those prayers, when you're asking God to do something, asking something, those tend to fall down into what I think of as the prayer of a slave, the prayer of a servant. And yes, we are his servants, but we are more so, because my children are my children, but they also serve me because they love me. But they are not relegated to a slave. They're my children. They know my plans. They know everything about me, good, bad, ugly. They know it all. So they actually, 9 times out of 10, don't even need to talk to me to know what to do because they know what my goals are. They know all about me, and they know me so well that they know what I would choose in any given situation. They can hear me in their head going, "Don't you buy that candy bar, girl. You know you need to eat a banana and some cheese for lunch," right? I mean, they can hear me. They go over to Sophia, I'm talking to you. She goes over to the snack cupboard, which is way too big at my house, okay? You know, and she's looking at them like, I'm like, "Sophie, what you got there?" She's like, "Chocolate." But you know in the morning when you're creeping over there, I know you can hear me. And I might not even be in the room, but she can hear me going, "Sophie, you need some fruit and some yogurt before you have that chocolate." Okay, that's how you need to be with God. You need to know because you're a child of God. So when you pray a prayer that says, "Sickness, leave. Now." Now that's the prayer of a child of God. That's not the prayer of a servant. You hear me? That's the prayer of a king. You command and are obeyed. If we could have our first clip there with Mufasa. I know, right? I love movies. He's going to pull that up for us. I hope we can see it. If not, remember just to look at the TVs if you can't see it up here. So, did everybody get to see that movie at least once? I cried like a baby the first time that thing came. I was like, "Oh my gosh, you know, how could Scar is so horrible?" Do y'all understand? Scar is the devil. That is what he is. He comes over there whispering in some little child's ear, "Look what you did to your daddy. It's your fault. Run away," right? Just because he was stealing the throne. Y'all know that is all that is the devil. That's how he talks to you. He talks to you in your ear. "Your mama don't like you. She likes your sister more. Mm-hmm, that teacher. She likes boys more than she likes girls." Whatever. He's always whispering something up in your ear. And the thing is, when he talks to you, some of what he says, just enough of what he says is true to get you to bite the hook. The bait's the truth. The hook is the lie. And you bite on that bait thinking it's true, and then you all of a sudden you're getting pulled in all kinds of directions you wish you weren't. I'm telling you, and he's going to fry you up and eat you. not today. We won't let him do that, okay? But I want y'all to understand something. You will never, ever walk in more authority or power than your identity is. Everything you do in life, everything I do in life, is a direct result of an identity or a belief. When you believe you're good, you'll do good things. If you believe you're bad, you'll do bad things. Did you know that? So the sum total is this. Your identity is always greater than or equal to what? The power and authority you walk in. You will never walk in more power or more authority in your life than how you see yourself. So if you don't see yourself as a son, but as a slave, slaves don't have authority, and they have very, very, very little power. It's just the way it is. They have just enough authority to do the work their slave master gave them to do. That's not who we are. That's beneath us. So our identity has to be shifted from being under the law, which is unclean, to being under grace, which is clean. Do y'all understand that? Under the law, there were all of the ceremonial things, the sacrifices and all that stuff that had to be done to keep you clean, hopefully for a year, right? But once Jesus went to the cross for us, the gospel message is that he did what we could never do to give us what we could never deserve or have. He took our coat, if you will, our cloak of sin, shame, and disease and everything on him, and he put it on himself, and he gave us his robe of righteousness that he earned. That's the great exchange. There's always an exchange when there's a covenant. Blood is always present, and it's always unto death. The good news for us is it wasn't our death, it was Jesus' death. So we don't ever have to pay that price. But if you don't see yourself as his child, you'll never have the authority and power that you need to achieve the things he's created you to do. All right, so here's the deal. The good thing about that is it takes all the pressure off you. How about that? So John 14, 12 through 14 says, "Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father." That right there is making reference to the Holy Spirit coming. "Because I am going to the Father, and I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it." Most of us would agree, yep, that right there says that I will do greater things than Jesus did. Right? We all see that, right? It's all there. But do our lives reflect that? Do our lives reflect that? Now, I know people whose lives reflect that. I mean, who's seen Heidi Baker out there? I mean, there are people who raise the dead regularly. They just wake up, they have a cup of coffee, they raise the dead, then they go take a fish or two, and they go feed 20,000 people who are starving and pull them off the streets, and then it's lunchtime. I mean, you know, that's how they live. It does happen. And I have been soaking my head in those testimonies because I want to live that way too. But again, we don't operate outside of our own belief system, do we? It's time for us to have that fruit in our lives. It's time. I believe that the reason that most of us don't have that kind of fruit in our lives is because we don't see ourselves as Jesus sees us. We see him as Jesus, but we don't acknowledge the fact that God himself took up residence, that we are the temple that he lives in. We are a living temple that the Holy Spirit resides in. I mean, that is just one of those, think about it. You got to chew on that. It'll take a few years to chew on that. And I'm going to tell you right now, I get it. I'm not sitting here up here telling you these things because I do everything just right either. Like, I'm living up to the grace I've obtained. I'm trying. And I will tell you this. I'm finding some really amazing secrets that I didn't know before. Did you know that the Holy Spirit speaks to you. He speaks to you all the time. Your enemy speaks to you too. And most of us think that the voice of the enemy is our own voice. And we often think the voice of the Holy Spirit is our voice. We haven't been trained and taught to understand which one it is. So how many of y'all have ever just had a brilliant idea? You're just sitting there, bam, this idea comes to you, and you're like, wow, that's a great idea. Yeah, go ahead, raise your hands. Who's ever had that? I've had that. Chances are, I'm going to be right with you. It probably was above your pay grade, and it probably was a Holy Spirit moment that just gave you an idea. I'm just saying. How many of you have ever had a really dark thought come into your mind? Has anyone ever been driving down the interstate and heard the voice run into that underpass? Run your car off the road. I've heard that. You know what you say, right? Did you ever think that was your voice? Most of you probably thought it was your voice. Like, why would I have? That's a crazy thought. No, that's a spirit of suicide talking to you. Y'all know that those spirits, those dark spirits, have names. And they're generally named for what they are. Okay? Like you know how Adam named dogs, dog, right? Like, when you think of a dog, you think of a happy wagging tail, and, like, you're going to pet it. Like, you know what I'm saying? You think of a golden retriever or whatever your favorite dog is, right? And they all have very similar attributes, right? Well, a spirit of suicide is named that because that's what it is. A spirit of deaf, dumb, blind, that. A spirit of lust, a spirit of pornography, a spirit of murder, a spirit of rage, a spirit of addiction. That's just all they are. They're just nothing. The only way they have any power to operate on this planet is if they steal yours. You, sons and daughters of God, are the only ones that God ever gave dominion of this earth to. Of this realm belongs to us. And it was stolen through deception in the beginning with Adam and Eve. I know y'all know all that awesome story, right? Don't eat the fruit, don't, you know, okay, all that. But here we are today, and it really isn't that different than it was back then. I mean, I remember reading the Bible when I was little thinking, dang, Eve was dumb. Why would she do that? Like, did anybody ever remember reading that story? Like, did you ever, you know? Or did you ever read like when the people were complaining in the desert after they just passed through the waters? And you're like, dude, like, God just parted the waters for you. Why are you worried about what you're going to eat? Like, I mean, he can do that. I mean, like, do you know what I'm saying? Why would you want to go back to Egypt? Like, I remember thinking those. And then all of a sudden, when you get older, you look around and you go, oh, I'm kind of like that, like, in my life in some areas. Like, you start thinking when you start wising up to things. The thing about the devil that I want y'all to understand, I don't want y'all to be afraid of him. He's defeated. He's just a little old cricket bud chirping in your ear. And the only thing you need to be afraid of is giving your authority to him, because that's the only way he can be dangerous. And one of the best ways to know the voice, what is this voice saying, is to know what God said about you. If you know that God said, you are the head, not the tail, above only, never beneath, then you know any thought or idea that comes into your mind that diminishes you. You know, I hear stories about children identifying as dogs and cats and wolves. Now, it's different when you're a child and you're playing dress up and you're playing forest and, you know, you're just using your imagination playing. But when you actually start saying, oh, I think I'm a dog, does that not reek of going low, going beneath who God said you are? A beast of the field? You're a beast who can't even talk, who can't even do math, who can't even, you know, have a life and a living and a family? Do you know what I'm saying? Like, and they're great. I love dogs. I love cats. I love wolves. I love animals. But they are very definitely beneath us. They aren't above us, right? I mean, do y'all agree with that? Have you ever noticed that those ideas, those lofty and vain imaginations up here that come into your mind, if it takes you beneath your identity in Christ, it's a lie. And you know what we do with lies, right? We silence them. I'm going to tell you, that day when that spirit told me to drive into the side, I was like, I pulled over real quick on the side of the road. I backed up to that thing, and I got out my car, and I said, you spirit of suicide that's living on this bridge, I command you to go to hell And don't you ever tell anybody else to drive into you. Silence you forever, go away. No more will you torment anybody driving on this road. I command you to shut your mouth forever. And then I got out of the car and I praised the Lord. I said, that is a free and clear bridge now that will never have somebody drive into it. I ain't having that crap in my neighborhood. And when y'all hear that, y'all better do something about it. What happens if somebody walks up to your kid, Amanda, and is like, you're a poopy pants and I don't like your shoes, right? What you gonna do? You gonna repent for all the things you about thought about that child, right? And then you go, we don't talk like that to my children, right? You're gonna be nice at first, and then you go, who's your mama? And you can go find out child's mama, just so you know, your child just said this to my children, and this is your warning shot. Right? I mean, you know what I'm saying? We take care of our children. You need to take care of you. You need to take care of you. You deserve to be kings and queens. You deserve to have successful careers. You deserve to have joy in your life. You deserve to have enough income for your dreams and your visions for your children and their children, and some to bless others with. That's who you are. That's who God said we are, right? We are the lender, not the borrower, right? And then we just give it away because we love people. Revelation 12:11 says, and they have overcome him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. How do you overcome the powers of darkness? By your words. By the blood of the Lamb, you enter into the family through the blood of the Lamb. You become born again. And then the word of your testimony. You have to know what he says about you. If y'all had the richest man in the world die and leave you an inheritance, how long would it take you to show up at the lawyer's office to find out what he left you? I mean, seriously, I would be there with bells on. I'd be like, okay, what we got? What are we doing today? I'm going to buy a new church. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I'm going to pay off my mortgage. I'm going to pay off Bill's mortgage. I'm going to pay, if y'all have one, I'm going to be like, I'm going to be blessing everybody, because you know how that is. That's just my heart. I'd be having a good old time, right? But do y'all know that the word of God is worth even more than every amount of money there ever is? Because money can only buy so many things. Do you know money cannot buy a good friend? The blessing of the Lord can. Do you know that money cannot buy wisdom? Only the Lord can give you wisdom. You can pursue as much knowledge as you want to that this world has and be educated beyond your intellect and have no wisdom. Did you know that you could have every ounce, every dollar, every ounce of gold, everything possession-wise in the world, and have no love in your life? What about your health? Money can't buy your health. Ask me why I know that. That's real. I think I'm in Acts 2. I'm not sure. I'm just going to read the scripture. Then the 70 returned. No, it wasn't Act. I think it's Luke. Luke 2:17. Do I have one of those? Okay, thank you, sir. Then the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means harm you. What did he give us there? Authority. Jesus, right there, he said, I give you authority to trample. What's a trample look like? Well, I'm dainty in my shoes because I don't want to get no mud on them or something, or demon blood, but it would look like under my feet, bye-bye, and then shake off the dust, right? I'm going to read a couple more scriptures and tie some things together. In Matthew 2:9, he said, according to your faith, let it be done unto you. In Proverbs 23:7, it is written, for as he thinks in his heart, so is he. 1 John 4:7 says, love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. You will not utilize the authority God gave you beyond how you see yourself. So here we go. We're in a war, y'all. And here is how we fight the good fight of faith. We find the answer to the issues of life that we have in the scriptures and in prayer with Jesus. He shows us what to do by giving us his word. And we hold onto that word so fiercely that we literally digest it. You literally digest it just like you do a good steak, to the point that every cell in your body is full of that word. And what do we do with these deceptions and lies? We cast them away from us like God casts our sins away, as far as from the east is from the west. 2 Corinthians 10:3-6 says, "For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are weapons or not weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive." We put them in jail. We take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ. We make it submit. We make it submit to what Christ said about it. Every thought, every vain imagination. Some voice telling that you are a critter? No. You tell submit, dog. Sit. Sit. You are not that thing. You are a human. And we will be ready to punish every act of disobedience once your obedience is complete. If we could grab that clip from the second clip, I believe it was one. Okay, perfect. This is what we do when the devil speaks to us. Okay, in that scene, for those of you who have not seen The Lord of the Rings, in that scene, that demon is speaking as if the true hero, which is it Frodo? Frodo, thank you, making sure I get it right. That is insinuating that Frodo had died. That garment that was Frodo's was just a garment they found. Frodo was not dead. He was lying. That's what Satan does. And so he's trying to intimidate them and fear them that something bad had happened to their only guy who can save the day with destroying that ring. If you don't know the story, you're missing out. You need to see it. But the true king, who wasn't even crowned king yet, was the one who went up and cut that dog's head off. And so what we do when the devil starts speaking to us, we don't talk to him. I don't have time for him. I am not interested in him. The only one I'm interested in is my Lord and Savior Jesus. I want to know what he said. I don't care what the devil said, because the devil is just a liar. Jesus himself said that every word the devil speaks is a lie, and that he was a murderer from the beginning, and that he only lies. He's the father of lies, and everything he says is a lie. That is what he is. And he's after you. He's after your identity. He's after your inheritance. You know what he wanted to be? He wanted to be like you. Because God said he made us in his image and in his likeness he made us. Male and female, he made us. We are like God. We are his children. If you look at my daughters and even my son, they're like me. They're made in my image because God used mine and my awesome husband's DNA to make them. They can't help but be awesome like me and their fabulous husband, my fabulous husband, right? And even more so, if we're made in the image of God himself, no wonder Satan hates us. No wonder he wanted to have what we already have. So because he couldn't have that, he cast down. Jesus said, "I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven." How fast does lightning move? Last time y'all checked. Anybody awesome and geeky know actually the speed lightning goes at? I mean, I just know it's so fast you can barely see it hit, right? Do you know what I'm saying? It was not a slow fall. Because here's the deal. There's no such thing as a fight with God. I mean, I want y'all to remember this, who your daddy is. There's no fight with God. Who's going to fight God? Are you kidding me? What a joke. What an idiot to think you could defeat God. He's God. I mean, all he has to do is think about you being defeated and you're gone. I mean, you know, he thinks about planets and they come, he says, and God said, and it was. I mean, do you know what I'm saying? Imagine if he says something bad. I mean, judgment on Satan was that fast. I mean, that's what I believe. He said, done, over, it's through. And so he comes down here and he's trying to hit his only way he can do anything in this whole planet is if we allow it. That is the only chance he has. Is taking your inheritance. Now, if somebody's going to leave all that inheritance for you, and you take the time to go to the lawyers, you collect the inheritance, what you going to do if someone comes and says, "Hey, I was his great-great-great niece, once removed, nephew's third cousin, and I think I have a right to some of that inheritance. Do you know what my son told me today? Was it today you told me about the inheritance, or was that last night? The inheritance laws are like one of the only laws at all, correct me if I'm wrong, that cannot be changed whatsoever. Like, when it's in the inheritance, that's not negotiable. Inheritance laws, that's the one, you know, taxes and inheritance laws, the only sure thing. Like if it's in the inheritance, it can't be changed. No one can go back and change it except the person who made the inheritance. I mean, seriously, let that sink in. Your inheritance from Christ, I don't think that's a coincidence. Our inheritance cannot be changed. Our inheritance is we are sons and daughters of the Most High God. We are the head, not the tail, above, only, never beneath. Everything we put our hand to prospers. Right? That's who we are. You know, he will not prosper you in something that will destroy you. So if you want to do something that's destructive to you, he will not prosper that. That's it, that he can't do that because he is love. So I want y'all to think about that. Did y'all like that? I love that. That video clip, by the way, this is how we handle the liar. We cut off his head, and we show no mercy and no quarter. We give them none of that. So whenever a vile, wicked spirit speaks to you, I'm gonna go ahead and tell y'all this is how it's done. This is how you wage the war. You speak to it. You don't sit up in there and have that thought and be like, oh, did that thought just tell me to kill myself? I think I just had a thought that told me to kill myself. I'm just going to sit here and think about that. No. No, you quickly and actively, loudly speak to that thing. And you let it know where it can go. And I love that scripture where we take all thoughts captive to imagine. I grab it by its throat. See, Miss Vicky had told me this one time. She had described it like, imagine yourself. You're the control tower of an airport, a very busy airport, because you're popular. And there's all of these airplanes flying around. And those airplanes are thoughts. Those thoughts have to have your permission as control tower, whether they get to land or not. The good thoughts, let them land. Anything that's in agreement with the word, let it land. The bad thoughts, don't let them land. Tell them dismissed, bye-bye, keep flying. No tarmac for you here. Keep getting closer, I'm going to shoot you. And what do you shoot? What do you shoot that thought with? You answer it. When Jesus was in the wilderness, the word of God says, and he answered him saying, when he's like, what, 40 days? 40,000 years is what that would be to me, 40 days with no food in the desert. And he's being tempted. You know, you can take those stones and turn them to bread. You know, because you are Jesus. You're the Son of God. If you're the Son of God. If you're the Son of God. No, ain't no if here, bro. I'm the Son of God. He just said I was. Back off. Turn this thing. I don't need it. You act like I'm needy. What you talking to? Like, no, you're just going to tell him, it is written. And Jesus answered him saying, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the Father. Here's the difference that you may want to consider doing. Put a Bible everywhere you can in your house. I'm not even joking. Put a Bible by your toilet. Put a Bible on your end table. Wherever you watch TV, if you do that, put it by your computer. Put it by your bed. Put it on a kitchen counter while you're waiting for the cookies to bake. Every second that you have free, just start putting the word in. Just open it up. It doesn't have to be difficult. I think we get perfectionistic and think, well, I have to do that whole study of Romans first, and then I'm going to do. Just open up the Bible and read it. The Lord will help you. Understand? If you read something you don't understand, go talk to someone that you know understands the Bible. They'll help you. For real. You need to read the Bible because here's the deal. That's your ammunition. How y'all going to be in a war with no bullets in your guns? How you going to be in a war with no ammunition in your tanks? How you going to be in a war when you got airplanes but you ain't got no gunnery in them? The Word of God is your instrument of battle. And you can choose to use it however you want to, but I like putting the devil in his place if he dares to come up to me. I'm going to tell you what, he tormented me when I was a newlywed. We lived in New Orleans, and this was B.C. before children. And Bruce, on occasion, would have to go out of town for, you know, a few nights at a time. And we lived in a nice area and stuff, but man, the devil got in my head. And I was so terrified that someone was going to break in and hurt me and rape me or murder me or some horrible thing. And you know, have you ever noticed that vain imaginations, have you ever wondered what a vain imagination is? Let me tell you. A vain imagination never has a good outcome, right? I heard somebody say it like this one time. You know, the mama is in the kitchen, you know, and it's 4 o'clock and the kids aren't home from off the bus yet. They should be home from school. Where are they at? You know, the thought in your head is never, I bet the principal is giving them an award. And I bet they're only in the eighth grade, but I bet they're getting scholarships to college because they're so smart. I bet that's what's going on. No, she's like, oh my God. The thoughts that are probably vain imaginations is, ooh, they were abducted off the, what if somebody stole them off the school bus? Or what if some bully beat her up and she's bleeding on the side of the road, right? Those vain imaginations, they always go somewhere negative. Do you know that you are the only force in this universe that can control your mind? You're the only one. I am very talented. And if I could control my children's minds, I would. But I can't control their minds. I can teach them how to think. I can explain things to them so that they choose wisely. But at the end of the day, they have to choose for themselves. I can't do it for them. Bruce can't do it for them. So take the time to read the word. You know, get in the Psalms. I mean, King David has some amazing things he said. He'd get really ticked off, and he'd say all this horrible stuff. And then at the end, he'd come back to the Lord and say, but Lord, I trust you, right? I mean, it's really, you got to read the Bible. If you really don't know where to go, start in Isaiah about book 50, chapter 50. The book of Isaiah is basically just a condensed version of the whole Bible. It's like my favorite book of the Bible. I love it. And I put my name in there. I love putting my name in the blessing scriptures, right? Jacob to this day knows Psalm 1 is his, right? And I have some Isaiahs that are my family's. I put our names in there. We are blessed. The Johnsons are blessed in the city, blessed in the field. We're blessed coming in, blessed going out. Blessed is the fruit of our womb. Blessed is everything, our knee trough. Y'all know, y'all, food trough, knee trough. You know, I don't have our livestock. I don't have actual cattle, but I got two dogs and a cat, and they're blessed. I tell them they're not allowed to get sick because you're blessed. You can't be sick. You know, that's part of the curse, and we're not under that. So I'm just telling y'all, put your name in there. Make it personal. It's really pretty. It's really kind of cool. And start memorizing it. And every single time some nasty thought comes in your head about that you're less than, nuh-uh. You redirect that thought out the door. You do not land here. Bye-bye. And here's the other thing I do. I do this. I'll grab it like a chicken. Y'all ever been to Mardi Gras? They throw those rubber chickens? You know what I'm talking about? Like, yeah, because we used to live in New Orleans. Oh, I didn't finish telling y'all the story. So I was terrified. I was having those vain imaginations. And then God just showed me Psalm 91. And I'm telling you, if you get afraid, if you struggle with anxiety and fear, just pull out Psalm 91. Psalm 91. And I'm telling you what, I literally would sleep with that on Bruce's pillow, open to Psalm 91, so that as soon as I woke up terrified, I could just read it. And I read it out loud. And do you know what happened? Fear left the room. I could feel it leave the room. Because you know what the devil don't want to hear is the word of God. He don't want to hear that. And I would read it out loud. I would be shouting it out loud. I'd be terrified and shouting it out loud. And after a short season of time, that quit happening. Imagine that. It just quit happening. Because I prepared myself. I was prepared for the fight. I went to bed knowing I'm prepared if that thing comes at me. And I would just read it out loud. And eventually it quit happening. Now, I want to tell y'all a couple things. Have y'all ever asked God to bless your prayers so that every time you laid hands on somebody, they would be healed? Like every time, or even just to give you one cancer, or one thing, like just cancer, Lord. Just give me cancer. And if I lay my hands on anyone who comes at me, if I lay hands on for cancer, they'll be healed. Right? Have you ever prayed something like that? Because that's not a bad thing to pray for, is it? Right? But imagine what would happen to me if every single person who ever got cancer found out, if you just go find Buffy Johnson and make her lay hands on you and pray for you, what do you think would happen to my life? I mean, seriously, what do y'all think would happen to me? Go ahead. I would be. Every person that heard about me that had cancer would inundate my life, and I wouldn't have a life anymore. Like all the richest people in the world, they'd be flying into Tulsa Airport trying to find me. they would offer me, "Well, I'll give you $10 million if if you pray for my mama." And, "Well, I was going to pray for this one." "No, I'll give you $20 million. Like, eventually you don't even have a life. I honestly think one of the reasons, because this is something I have pondered. Has anyone ever wondered, because we're talking about the power to command and be obeyed in our life, the power to drive out darkness, the power to drive out demons, the power to drive out sickness, right? And I can honestly say I've been frustrated at times when I prayed and didn't see the results that I wanted. And I'm still in the process with some of these things. And some words that God has given me, and I just want to share this with you because I hope it will help you not be frustrated, is there's a process. And every single time, like, he doesn't want to ruin my life by having everyone come to me, because then I'm the source and Jesus isn't, right? I think he also doesn't cookie cutter it, because if you say this prayer three times a day, sideways, at facing Jerusalem at this time of day, every day, and if you take communion 15 times in a row, then you'll be healed. Then all of a sudden we're looking for the form and not the king. Do you know what I mean? And he loves us so much. He loves us too much to let us go down that path of slavery. He wants intimacy with us. And I also think that there are seasons right now. My family, if you know me, you know we're really going through a difficult season in a couple different arenas with regards to health. And when you've done all the things, having done all to stand, you stand. You just keep standing on the word. Regardless of what you see, and Jacob and I were talking the other day, and this is just something I believe. The only time you can really demonstrate faith is in the face of impossibilities that are not happening the way you want them to. When you're standing and praying over the health of your son, and you're not seeing the results he needs. After a couple years and you're still not seeing results, what do you do? This is what I believe is an offering to him. I will believe even when I don't see. I will still worship you as my son's healer, as my healer, even when I don't see it, and I will never change my confession to death. Because the truth is this is the only time that we have the opportunity to give a sacrifice of praise to him. It's not a sacrifice of praise when you win the lottery to thank God for that, is that? You know, it's not a sacrifice for me to praise Jesus when he heals my son. That's an immediate response. You can't help but that, right? Do you know what I'm saying? But to praise in the midst of your pain, in the midst of your trauma, that's a sacrifice, I believe. And I do believe that God is the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. I don't believe that anything that's going on in my life or in his life or in your lives that's hard, I don't think any of that is being done to you. So please don't give up hope and don't turn and shake your fist at God and say, "Well, if you loved me, you'd do this." That's evil and wicked. Don't do that. That's beneath you. You got to step off the throne to think like that. That's how Satan thinks. He's a transactional thinker. That's not who you are. Faith, without faith, it is impossible to please God. I do believe that I'm going to have some crowns to throw at Jesus' feet, and I think this is part of how we earn them. It'll be fun. And the only time, like, when he's with us, you won't help, but you'll just erupt in praise. You won't be able to even control that. I mean, you'll just, right? But here, when we have to walk in through some darkness, I will still praise him, because I know I win. We don't have loser blood in us, do we? Hey, none of us know. If you are a believer, you only have winner blood in you. Because here's the deal. If you kill me, it's kind of like Obi-Wan Kenobi. Go ahead. Take a shot. You'll only make me more powerful, right? I mean, because I will get to be in heaven with the Lord. And so I'm just going to go ahead and make it, just live the way I believe. So here's the deal. Tonight, we are going to give anyone who is a believer in Jesus the opportunity to be filled with the dunamis power of God himself. So what I want right now is for any campers. If you're a camper and you're born again and you speak in tongues, I want you to line up front here. Come on. If you're a camper and you are born again and you speak in tongues, come on up here. Don't be shy. Make this quick. Come on. I don't even know what time it is. Okay, we're good? Okay, okay. So, all right. So line up and face. I want you to face the awesome people here. So what we're going to do, if you're a camper and you're a believer and you speak in tongues, okay. So the Word of God said that the impartation of the Holy Spirit comes through the laying on of hands. You can be born again and not have been filled with the Holy Spirit. We want you to be filled with the Holy Spirit. So we want to give you the power, the dunamis power of God. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead is in you. And now here it is. It's like having a cheat code for life. Because when the Holy Spirit is in you, how many of y'all have seen like the Matrix movies? And all of a sudden they just know where to go and what to do and how to think and you just do that. That's kind of like what it is when you have the Holy Spirit in you. When he talks to you, you know it was him. And you know what to do. And not only that, but you have your own private, personal prayer language. The prayer language is it suffocates and frustrates the devil. I love it. Because he has no idea. He has no idea what you're saying. He can't get in there. He can't comprehend what is being said. It is between you and Jesus. It is intimacy. And it is also written that when you pray in the Spirit, you empower yourself. You edify yourself, okay? And that is for every single believer. So what I want to do is I want to invite anyone, if you haven't been born again and you want to be, if you don't have a personal relationship with Jesus, you are missing the greatest love that you could ever have in your life, the greatest healing, the coolest walk. Ain't nobody love you like Jesus love you. So if you want that, you can come down too. But if you're already filled with him and you're born again, I want you to come up. We're going to do some laying on of hands. And we're going to impart the Holy Spirit to you. And anyone who needs prayer, just come forward. You got an issue in your life, we're going to pray for you. And we're going to see results.